had a period of 10,000 listens per week. And then that kind of plateaued for a while. And then now it's dropped a little bit this last 6 months.
Hello and welcome back to this Rose the Show episode. Every other Monday, we invite a business owner, coach, or professional onto the podcast to get a free podcast audit and roast, where we deep dive into their current marketing, highlight areas that are holding them back from faster growth and monetization, provide them and you actionable steps you can start applying today to experience faster podcast growth. So sit back, grab your popcorn, and get ready as we roast this show. Hello, and welcome back to Why Your Podcast Isn't Growing. My name is Anthony Wineri.
I'm Ty Gosho.
And in today's episode, we have...
Hey, John Orr from Make Math Moments. And
Kyle Pierce from the Making Math Moments That Matter podcast. John doesn't even know the name of our show.
Oh, yeah. That's why we're failing.
Brilliant start, fellas. Brilliant start. Look, I guess for a bit of context for the listeners, both John and Kyle are actually clients of ours, and they've got two shows, one that they currently had for quite some time, and which is doing actually pretty well, relatively successful. And another one they just kind of just started to kickstart, and they're working with us alongside to really grow that show. But they've grown their podcast to a very respectable size, and they shot us a message saying, hey, look, guys, we want to get on, give the show an audit, see where we can improve. So again, just goes to show that doesn't matter where you are in your journey, you can always kind of get that additional help and different perspective. And a perspective for our listeners, guys, would, I guess, give us some context in terms of why you started the show and I guess how many monthly downloads you're getting on average each month.
Sure. Yeah. Kyle and I, we are high school math teachers. I guess we are in a past life now. We were high school math teachers. Kyle was a K-12 district consultant in his own district. And for years, we were toying with different ways to explore and teach math in our classrooms with some success with engagement and getting kids to like math, learn their math at a deeper level than, say, what the first few years of our career was like. We taught very traditionally in our math classes, but then pivoted those. So we shared a lot of our lessons between each other, and we started sharing them online through Twitter and social media, and we wrote blogs for years about what our lessons looked like, and we grew, I guess, a following in a sense that people, we had regular blog listeners between the two of us just asking our opinion. And we have this, there's a great community of math teachers out there that we benefited ourselves and but also provided that back. We started getting into courses and creating online courses for teachers to change their math pedagogy in classrooms. And then that spawned us to go, how do we talk to more people? How do we help more teachers change their math pedagogy? And that led us to starting the podcast. So I think Kyle, we sped the podcast in 2018.
Yeah.
And we put out a weekly episode every single week since then. And we've grown it. I think this is why we wanted to talk with you guys and pick apart this podcast, because we grew it from probably right away because of our following, maybe 500 listens a week right off the bat. And then that grew to, we had a period of 10,000 listens per week. And then that kind of plateaued for a while. And then now it's dropped a little bit this last 6 months. So I can't, you know what, I should pull it up right now. But we should, I think we're looking at hovering around 5,000 listens a week. I think I'll pull it up here for you, sure. But Kyle, fill them in on anything else I missed about like where the podcast came from.
Yeah, I think it's like for those people, especially those who maybe are just starting out and maybe they're using a podcast as maybe their first entrance into sort of the world, the digital world. We both were big podcast listeners. And like John said, we had been building this following by sharing content for close to a decade, I would say, online. So we had our blogs, we were sharing lessons. That was what we were known for. We had these engaging lessons that teachers would come to our site. So we had lots of really good organic traffic. We were building an email list for, we didn't know why, but we heard everyone say you're supposed to. So we just had all these emails and we'd share out the stuff. It was all good, fun. Didn't really have a monetization strategy. We were just doing it because we loved it. And as we finally went to this digital course, membership, consulting route, that's when we said, hey, let's take the plunge. Let's do this podcast. We already had, like John said, we had this following already. So it was really easy for us to go. I remember saying to John, I think it was in December 2018, when I was like, let's do this podcast. And we just very quickly thought about it, did it. And then we just said, all right, let's record 3 episodes. Like, I don't even want to go back and listen to them, to be honest, but we just did it. And I think I'm happy we did that. And then it evolved over time. Luckily, because of our opportunity speaking at big engagements and national conferences, I'm going to say it was easy on us because people knew us for listeners, but it also was easy to get guests. So we had some really big guests like right off the hop, which obviously helped with growth. So the reason I say that is because everything you guys talk about in your work, in your course, and in your mentorship, now that you're mentoring us in this new podcast that we're growing, we can see that everything you're saying worked for us, but we had the easy ticket because we had done the 10 years of work prior. Whereas in this new world, we don't have that. So it just really rubber stamps for us how important these steps mm-hmm. are and doing it well. And really why we decided to ask you guys for help was we just wanted to shorten the time frame it would take. I think we are capable to figure this out on our own, but it might take us double, triple, quadruple the amount of time. And we just know, hey, time is really important. It's finite. And we want to do this in a more efficient and I would say like calculated and intentional manner. So for that, we thank you guys.
I love it. That's good. You know what? It's so good getting the background in terms of how you guys got started and where you're at now and the openness of it. And I guess from your end, you know, you're at the spot now where you've grown the show and you've had your high, really, really high peaks. And you mentioned how the last 6 months, things have started to taper down a little bit. I'm curious to know from your side, what do you think is going on there? Like, I'm sure you guys would have, you know, brainstormed some ideas into what's happening. But yeah, talk to me a little bit about that.
Yeah. I think there's a few things. I'm looking at the history of the data since, you know, we moved over to Buzzsprout to kind of track our data before we were on a different platform. But we basically grew, it looked like we were growing in listens every year. And we go in cycles. Education is in cycles. So we would get big listens at the beginning of January, just because I think people are like, it's the new year. And it's like, hey, there's a new me, right? Like that kind of thing. It's like, I'm going to start changing what my pedagogy looks like. But we also get huge listens in the summer, because when like teachers all of a sudden are off work, right? And they have more time to dive into some of this stuff or getting ready for the school year is usually when August hits, people start to think about those types of things. So we would usually see so that's why it's like we range from up and down, but we had a steady incline from when we started up until I think the peak was almost like 48,000 listens in a month. But we also saw that taper off for the last year, but then we also noticed something else. So we've been stagnant, and it's just, there's two things here. It's like we've been pretty stagnant on that growth since at least the last year and a half. And it's almost like, I'm not sure exactly why. We have a social media presence. We post regularly there. We do conference circuits because of education, and we pick up listens that way. But I think I'm not sure if it's whether it's like I know that we haven't saturated the market, but there is like this whole, like, how have we saturated like our sphere of influence at this time, right? How do we get in front of new people is like always our question. We know that's partly the work we're doing with you at the other podcast. And we're thinking about how do we apply that to this podcast? But the other thing that kind of skewed our results on our data, like we feel like our data is not actually accurate. So when I say we have 40,000 listens, we stumbled across maybe like a snafu in the data tracking at some point, because it appeared that maybe there were some podcast players that when people hit other websites, a website, that it counted that just view on the website as a listen. We're not sure. We have no idea. But when
embed code on one of the like RSS feeds out there from, I don't know which one it is, SoundCloud or like one of these things. I think, John, we were on a website and I was like,
lots of guests put we interview lots, right? And then lots of people, and then those guests embed their episodes on their websites.
And we went and we saw this one episode that had the most downloads by far of all these other episodes. And a great person, of course, but I was like, I would have thought like person or that person has like a bigger following. So we went down the rabbit hole and Googled it, and then noticed that on the home page of their website, they had this embed code. And then I started to go, like maybe that one is counting downloads like every time this thing refreshes. Now, that said, it only is helpful on that one platform because that download doesn't get counted in, say, Apple Podcasts or whatever. But that was something that was intriguing to us. And then I think I don't know. I haven't checked recently, but maybe it's not on the homepage anymore on that person's website. But
it must be like that because we dropped significantly. It's like you could see that we were getting regular heavy listens on that one episode, which was bringing all of our total listens up. Like we're talking thousands of listens on that one episode every week. Not homepage anymore. So it's like we dropped. And then you can check that episode to see what the listens are. And then you can see that drop. So it's that's why it's like we had incline. We've been plateauing, but then.
I think we used Wayback Machine even now, to try to line it up.
And we're now like, we've dropped.
What date did it like move off of that home screen? So.
But the still issue is like that we were plateauing regardless of whether those were skewed or that's where we are right now. Even when we look at the new data moving forward, it's not as high as it was, but it's plateaued in a sense right there. Okay. So yeah, I don't know, Kyle, what do you think on the reason of the plateau if we disregard that our data was a bit skewed at this point?
Yeah, it's a hard one. Like I think one thing that we did recognize, and I don't know you gentlemen, if you have gone down the rabbit hole to analyze this, but I feel like we have been less proactive in finding new interviews, and we've relied more on people reaching out to us for interviews. And I'm sure it's not rocket science when you think like the person reaching out to you to go on your show is probably less of a name than the people we used to reach out to say, hey, we want you on the show. For people listening, most are probably not math people, so there's no point in name dropping here, but let's say it's like Tim Ferriss coming on your startup podcast versus Smith Thompson or whatever, who just reaches out and
that's
said,
that's
I wrote
an interesting
a
name.
I want to get Smith Thompson.
I don't know. Is that like
connect us?
Smithson? I'm not sure. His application looked amazing. Oftentimes turn out to be great reviews, but it's more of, I feel like we're giving them more than say we're gaining from that type of interview. So I feel like we haven't been as intentional on those reach outs. So when John, I feel like just we're coming to our own conclusions here already that
that's the point.
One of those ways to stretch that audience, right? If we want to get into a new sphere, might be for us to actually go back to where we used to be, which is planning intentionally, like who else do we need to get on the show? We've had some repeat guests even, and it's a repeat guest is great for conversation, but does that actually get us to new people if they've already been on the show? So definitely one of the ideas that I've had in my mind.
The other idea I think we picked up from these guys is the power of being on other people's podcasts. We never really made that as a strategy of trying to get on other people's podcasts to promote our show. We have done it a handful of times every year over the lifetime of us doing it. And it's more because either we get asked, or we do a swap. But hey, can you come on ours? We'll go on yours. That kind of thing. So we've never really made it a strategy. Whereas I know when the work we're doing with you on the other podcast is it's one of the main strategies to grow your show, right? Is to get on those guest spots to pick up new audiences. So we haven't done that yet here. Like we still haven't made it a strategy moving forward to do that. And I know that we should. And it's probably us just figuring that out and making it a priority.
Yeah.
I don't know what you guys think. We talked a lot.
I think you guys have just come on here to hold up a mirror, right? Talk things out with us as the audience.
Yeah, basically.
You're
waiting for you guys to bust our butts and go like, sessions, so why haven't you modified your tagline yet? Like we did all that work and I said it to John the other day. Have you read our description of our show? It's like embarrassing.
Don't look at it. Look at it.
Yeah, don't look at it. But yeah. I mean, these guys are going to look at it right now.
With all that said, guys, we could dive into the description and all that kind of stuff. But I think in your kind of, and we have done that on other Roaster Show interviews, I think in your guys' case, the show has got proof of concept and it's been at kind of escape velocity, right? Where it's just scaling up. Regardless of what happened with like skewed numbers and stuff like that, even though you have plateaued, it's a bit different because with other people, say they're just fluctuating between 800 to 1,000 downloads a month, I would say, yeah, there's a retention problem with the actual show content because new listeners are finding it, but just people are just dropping off as well. You guys are getting 20,000 downloads minimum, sometimes as much as 40. So at that point, there's still thousands of people listening each month. So I don't think the show's a problem. I think you just revealed it there. I think it's more of an exposure issue. I'd be very curious. Firstly, the big guest thing. Normally, we actually, me and Anthony don't really like big guests. It doesn't tend to work for most people because the big guest comes, but because they've been on so many podcasts, it's not actually very special for their audience, them going somewhere, because their audience have just heard that story a million times, right? But for you guys, it sounds like that's actually worked quite well. Have you, is that, do you have ways of kind of tracking which guests have performed better? Do you know it's definitely that? What's, tell us a bit more about
that. You know what? Like, now that you say that, it's as soon as you said it, I'm like, that makes a ton of sense. And now it makes me reflect back. There's one guest in particular, like her big first guest was Jo Bowler, and our English friends. I think she spent a lot of time in Great Britain, to be honest, but you probably still don't know her because she's in math. But anyway, she was on our show, and I don't know if it was that having her on that she did the promoting, or if it was more of it rose our authority that we got to share it and we have a large enough audience that more people in our audience shared with other people that person was on our podcast that they already listened to. Does that make sense? So it's like a little different. It's like we had this large group of people that we had access to and we got to say, look who is on our show, the author of Mathematical Mindsets, and all the keynote of every conference over the past 3 years has been this person, and we just interviewed them. And then they're like, oh, I want to run and tell all of my friends at school, like at the lunch table. I want to tell them, it's like, did you hear the interview on that show? I'm totally making this up on the fly, but it's like a little epiphany I think I'm having as to why that strategy may have worked for us versus maybe someone starting and not maybe having that niche group of listeners.
I think what you're, you know, to piggyback on what you're saying, Kyle, is that we were always trying to create content, I think, for our existing audience. And we reflected on this not too long ago, that the work that you guys are having us do on the other show is actually trying to create content for that key avatar, that key person you're talking to. But it's almost like you're writing the content, or you're trying to talk to generate all these other people who are those people to come to the show. Whereas we were always trying to, our mindset was always like, how do we serve our audience that's here already? So we would get what you're saying, Kyle. I think this is in line with what you're saying, is like we would get Jo Bowler to come on because all the people that we already have in our email list or have access to sending our podcast episode to or sending it on our social was like, they'll like it. They'll listen. So it's like we had a big audience already. And then when we have guests like that, we probably get more listens, but it's really just our existing audience listening that time. And then next week, maybe they don't listen because it's not Jo Bowler. But I think in general, we were always focused on creating content, writing headlines, figuring out what does our audience currently want, instead of thinking about what else, what are the new people who don't know about us yet? What do they want?
Well, I think this is why these sessions are so good, because you're almost, I just speaking out loud as, I think you definitely hit a point where it's like diminishing returns, where you have your audience who are diehard fans. And a good way to look at this is like, I think what you said about getting guests on and then that being extremely popular, not because of the guest, but because of you guys interviewing the guest. Here's what I mean. I watched the interview where Joe Rogan interviewed Demi Lovato. Do I care about Demi Lovato? No. But I was interested to watch Joe Rogan interview Demi Lovato. Does that make sense?
Right.
I would just watch a Demi Lovato. It's just, is the interaction of the people you follow a lot, interacting with a big name that you know, but you wouldn't watch them on their own, but the interaction that you would watch.
So I think what you're saying
is, you think
is
the Demi Lovato Anthony people thinks, are going to...
No, Anthony thinks that John is Joe Rogan. No, I'm just kidding. But no, but I totally get what you're saying. And it makes a lot of sense. But then I think it's a bit of like almost like people knew us and they knew them. And it's like they're there for both. And then they want to share it because it's their name. So what happens a lot in our community, we find, is you'll have, we call them this, we'll do this, we call it a mentoring moment episode, what you're doing with us, like where you bring on podcasters and talk about the pebble in their shoe, as we like to call it. So we'll get math teachers on, and a lot of times they'll say, I've listened, yesterday we just interviewed someone, a teacher from Arizona, who said, I've listened to all 200 and however many episodes, and I'm like, I don't even know how many episodes there are, but she said it. And then she's like, and I got my principal to start listening and my whatever. But a lot of these people are like, I'm the only one at my school that knows about you guys. And then, so it's, they're always looking for a reason to bring other people on board. So it's like when other people know Joe Bowler, not Joe Rogan, Joe Bowler, they can say like, hey, like, here's this opportunity for me to share with you why you should listen to these guys. Again, total theory here, but, and it could be any of those things, but I definitely see your point though, that if you can find like more of this middle ground person who's eager to share that they were on our show, that's obviously going to be a benefit for us, because then there's a motivation for them to share, like share on social media, share to their email list, whatever it might be, because now they're proud to be on that show, whereas the big wig might just be like, just another day in my world, and carry on I go.
100%. So I think, like, in terms of, let's say, like an action plan moving forward, because you don't really know until you test it. And the easiest way to test it is just by being intentional. Okay, for the next 90 days, I'm going to make a list of 10 high-profile guests within our industry. I'm going to have a look at the following account. I'm going to see if they're active, and I'm going to reach out to them directly. We're going to get them booked on a show. And we're going to track, on average, what's our average download per episode? How much of a percentage increase do we get compared to the average download when we get this person on? Cool. It's significant. Why? Is it because something that we did or something that they did? Did they put it on their website? Did they share it with their audience? Did they share it on their Instagram? Did they not? Was it their story? Were their audience more engaged? But at least you have the intention of, okay, because right now we're in hypothesis mode. We're like, we're creating hypothesis. Yeah, right. But if we just isolate just this one thing, this one theory of, hey, let's get bigger high-profile guests on and let's see what happens with a baseline of what our average download is on average. Just start there, and then at least you guys, instead of like having stagnant growth or declining growth and thinking what's going on, what's happening, you can now start isolating some of these variables. Oh, what happens when we add it to a website that is embedded? Does it change or does it not? But again, it's isolating all the things you've just mentioned when it comes to, okay, are we interviewing the wrong people? Great, isolate that, figure it out, test it.
Right.
Is it maybe like the other things, I think, like in terms of the exposure piece, what happens when we get on more podcasts? What happens when we do get shout out? Do we see an increase? So for example, me and Tig, we recently had a shout out on our podcast and we looked at our baseline as a tracker, our analytics. On average each day, how many downloads are we getting? Got that number, great. When we had a shout out on this podcast, we had a 20 to 30% increase on that day. And it was on the day that it dropped. That's not random. That's significant. Cool. How can we find more shows like that? But we had other shows that I was a guest on and there wasn't a significant increase. So what does that mean? That type of show, I just avoid and stay away from. This type of show, how do I find more of the shows like this and just do more of that? Test again. Do I get the same result? Great. Test again, third time, do I get the exact same result? Amazing. Now I know the strategy is validated. It works.
Yeah.
Now I can put my four forwards. But right now, I feel like where you guys are stuck, and because you guys aren't people, you guys are action takers. I know you guys, we work with you. You like taking control and taking that steps forward. But I think what happens is when you can't really see, or you don't really know where to start, because I have all these different ideas of what it could be, and you're not isolating one of them to just tackle one at a time, you're almost, not overwhelmed is the wrong word, but you're so scatterbrained that you're like, you don't even know what step to take forward necessarily.
Right.
But it's just all these floats and ideas. Mm-hmm. Am I making sense? You guys follow me so far?
Sure, absolutely.
Sure. For sure. I think, a big takeaway so far is that intentionality. And I think we do that in other areas of our business. We just need to do that in this area. And I think we've also admitted for the last few years in the stagnation is because we haven't dedicated, even though the podcast is probably our largest lead generation tool to bring people into our ecosystem, we still have probably just let it coast.
We've maintained attention or intentionality.
Right. We haven't like dedicated time to strengthening it. We just say, hey, we'll record this week. We'll record this week. We'll record this week. And the implications or the standard operating procedures we put in place 5 years ago, they're still in place today, but we haven't really spent time to go, should we change that? How do we go about changing it? And you're giving us some good next steps to say, if we're going to change it, let's change it with intentionality.
So 100%. And just, sorry, just add on there, like, think about what you said there, maintaining. you never really maintain anything. Like if you just put a chair in the room and just keep it there,
yeah,
and just exactly. keep it there, no matter how much you maintain it, entropy occurs. That's just a natural law of nature. Happens with computers, happens with our bodies, happens with chairs, happens with the world, happens with the sun. Entropy will happen when you just leave something and just let it coast. Mm-hmm. Things will just decay. That's just a law. You can't avoid that. You need to put more energy into that thing, into this machine, for it to do anything you want it to. And the intention of that and the focus and the clarity around how you approach that, it allows you to not only see clearly, but allows you to be able to make drastic changes because you know what you're looking out for and you know what to look out for and what not to look out for because your mind's in the right place. So I just wanted to say that because, yeah, you're totally right. And this is for our listeners as well. Like, it's very easy once you're at a certain point. Oh, yeah, this is good. We'll just coast. Things are happening. Right. Why not? And you guys aren't the first people to say we haven't gone after the new guests because we have so many coming in. But then it's like, okay, great, you're having so many coming in. But what's your intention? What's your filter? What do you want? What do your listeners want? You're just giving your listeners basically whatever's coming to you rather than rethinking how do we, again, reach more people? How do we approach in a different way? Are these all the right people that we should be getting on? And that's, again, where things get a bit stale. It's not evolving. It's not innovating. It's just staying the exact same.
Yeah. And just to add on to that, I'm going to guess that we've managed to call it plateau versus, say, have that slow decline simply because we do enough, I'll say enough work in the business, other parts of the business, that it rubs off on the podcast. But it's, again, it's not to the best maximized, optimized, in the most optimized way. So it's, I think that could also contribute to why it's not decreasing. It's not like it's getting stale. Like the content I think is shifting okay, but again, it's not, we're not paying enough attention to it. Like we should be probably blocking out more time, more effort to try to figure out what do we need more of, what do we need less of. And then I liked your idea too, the word filter. We use that a lot with our coaching clients that we work with in the education space, which is what matters to us. So when somebody does want to come on the show, like what is going to be the deal breaker for that person, or what's going to be like the, hey, this is win, like everybody wins if this person comes on, instead of just having it as an open door type thing of, hey, whoever comes and we'll just go with it.
Absolutely, guys. I think it's a very common trend with podcasters that they're doing this alongside their business. It's very hard to not end up in a position where you are too close to the trees to see the forest. And it is one of those things where you don't set enough time to intentionally plan, to oversee. Even though it's the things you tell other people, it's the things you do in other aspects of your business, it's very hard to keep doing that consistently with a podcast. I'm curious because I don't feel like me and Anthony have said that much. Certainly Anthony a bit more than me with the profound chair analogy. But I guess, do you guys think you would have had a conversation like this? Or do you guys think you would have had this conversation if it wasn't for this kind of organized call with each other?
Because we have each other, right? Like we chat about stuff like this occasionally. But I think what makes this more meaningful is because we have to communicate our thoughts to someone else. It makes it more real and then also more actionable, I think. It's like now that we've had this conversation, it's shit, now we have to do this. Like now we have to go do this so that these guys know that we didn't do the things we just said.
John's
we were
like, why did
focus
Kyle
on,
say
right?
yes
so it's
to
like
this?
There's an accountability piece, right? So that's partly when you have conversations with people, you feel like you got to live up to the things you said. When it's just Kyle and I, we talk about strategy, and then sometimes those things, when we decide that's a real focus, because we have lots of focuses, right? So it's where's the real focus, and so we just have to decide where the real focus is going to be, and then. But I feel like this has made this feel like this should be a focus.
Right. And just to add on to that, so John and I do spend a lot of time. We see similarities in you guys and how you guys operate. We operate our business at what appears to be in a very similar fashion. We are always talking about strategy, but the part that I think makes this a really helpful call and working with you in general has made it a really great call is like, you'd never go down a rabbit hole outside of this focus area. So like today we just talked for an hour straight about the podcast, whereas every conversation we have, John and I, is it goes off to what about the webinar that we're doing later that month? What about this lead magnet? What about, it's like you start going down and it's, there's so many things that it's really easy to lose sight. So again, we'll go to the profound tag analogy of forest through the trees type thing, right? It's like we're there and there's so many things that need to be discussed that it can be really easy to let the discussion go into really helpful conversations, but you don't necessarily, or at least we don't dedicate currently enough time to actually strategizing for this very specific lead generator, which again, as John said, is one of our most important ones. We've identified that. We know that to be true, but I don't think our actions haven't modeled that behavior, right? If we know that it's true, then why aren't we committing more time towards this particular show? And I think this is a good sort of jump start for us to start doing that.
Guys, I think what you're saying there is about focus, right? It's about identifying what you want to do, why it's important, especially if you guys are business owners. So like there's been so many stories in the past of business owners, we have so many different things going on. Everyone's got so many different things going on. And if when you're just getting started in business, it's great. You have to wear all these different hats and do all these different things. But as you grow, develop and mature, it's then just how good is our decision making? That's just, that's what it becomes. Like how good is our decision making? And for that is then, okay, how good is our focus? And when you come to a spot where you know this is the biggest lead generation for you, and there's going to be other parts of the business that might not be working as well or might be working well that you want to work better, you're then essentially sabotaging yourself in the short term and in the long term. What do I mean? There was a recent story about this entrepreneur who's making like $400,000 a month, doing incredibly well, has six businesses, going crazy, wild. He loved it. He loved the mayhem of like being all over the place and whatnot. He had a partner that would always say to him, hey, look, why don't you just focus on just a couple of these? You seem super stressed out. Things are going well, but maybe we can slow down a little bit and get ourselves quite focused because you're really scattered at the moment. He was like, no, it's fine. It's okay. I'm doing it. I'm crushing it. He eventually ends up making a few mistakes and hiccups and he gets sued by one of the employees in one of the companies. It takes him out for a little while and he had to reevaluate his entire decision-making process. He looks at the six businesses and he has to cut some of them. He has to sell some of them because I think he had to sell like six of them, six or five of them to pick the ones to focus on to make up for him being sued or whatnot. Once he'd done that, he looked at his numbers and realized that there was only like really again the 80-20 rule. There was only one or two companies that were bringing in 80% of the revenue. And turns out those are the companies we're spending the least amount of time on. He sells the four, focused on these two, which again, you know, the one would even better, focus on these two. And I think it was like a couple of years, a few years later, he's now making $4 million a month, right? And of course, that's like arbitrary numbers with the money or whatever. But it just goes to show the power of focus, of understanding where's my energy going? Why am I doing all these different things? And why am I trying to fix certain areas of my business that, yeah, it would be great if it was working, but is that energy spent just fueling something we know absolutely is working? And I think it's about having the perspective of how far do we think we can actually push this? Me and Ty recorded an episode literally yesterday, I think it was yesterday, where we spoke about most podcasters don't give their podcast what it needs because they're basing the effort they should put into the podcast based on where they are currently in their journey. But if I told you guys, by the way, next year, if you make all these changes, guaranteed you'd be at 200,000 monthly downloads and making 3x as much as you are now with the show. You'll be like, holy fuck, let's just give, dude, what the fuck? Let's put all of our energy in this. But you're only putting that, again, you're only focused and putting that amount of energy because you're basing how much energy to put into the show with where you are right now, not the real potential of what you're working on,
right?
Not the actual opportunity that's staring you in the face. And that's what, pardon my language, that's what fucks most people. They just don't realize what they're actually working on and how valuable it is. And there's going to be another guy who you're competing against who realizes that and sees it and then goes all in. And then what happens? That's really, again, to round that off, pick where the focus is, what's working for you guys, and just double down. That's the heart and soul of the business. It's going to be really important that you measure the amount of effort and focus you put into this based on the real potential and opportunity you have in the ideal world. What's the ideal future look like for you guys? That's very real and it's going to happen if you take the right steps and give it the right focus. If you don't, you just have more of what you have right now.
That's huge. And the part that's always interesting is after someone has success, be it in podcasting or whatever part of life, everybody always says, oh, like, would, you know, nice to be them or whatever it is, but they don't know the actual journey. And actually, John, I think I sent you this message. What you reminded me of is Alex Hormozi. We're big fans. I think you guys are too. I think I was telling you, Anthony, that on our first call together, I was like, hey, I like how you did that. You used an Alex move. Alex on his show was saying that he was podcasting. I'm going to butcher the number, but it was like he was podcasting for something like 4 or 5 years, getting similar download numbers to what John and I have on our math podcast now. And I remember like that just hit me that I'm like, wow, he did it for 5 years to get to where he was, like just to start the hockey stick to where he is now. And John and I are, it's only 5 years that we've been doing the math podcast. So it's like you are 4.5 or whatever it is. And you start to really think about that and go like, I think everyone just assumes like, oh, Alex Hormozi started the podcast like when they found out about Alex Hormozi. And you don't see how much energy, how much time, how much effort he had put into that in order to get to where he's at now.